Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you'd want. I'm talking about Mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. This isn't some rinky-dink discount of 5 or 10%. This is 20% off your first order. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. My favorite are the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies. That's right, those are for sleepy time. You know when you just can't fall asleep? Take these and they'll put you right in the mood. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much everywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. So head to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code SPECIALISTS when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at mood.com.
If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door. No insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
I don't like when you're sentimental.
Yeah. Survivor Specialist Phil and Alexa are back with our Merge episode recap. Boy, was that a heavy hitter. That was 2 hours of a lot of feelings. We've never really seen an episode like this where we actually saw flashbacks to things that were happening in it. We saw a break of the fourth wall where a producer actually came and talked. We saw a lot of cameras in the episode, which is not something we normally see, but we did see that tonight. There's a lot going on here. There's a lot to break down. There's a lot of big issues. We pretty much just had a two-hour conversation about it, right? I mean, that's what this episode was. My head is kind of spinning. I'm really tired after watching that episode. Alexa, I know we were texting throughout it because we really couldn't help ourselves. How are you feeling now that it's been like 40 minutes since the episode ended?
I don't know. I feel like I ran a marathon and then someone like slapped me in the face, but I'm not really sure. No, I mean, you said it perfectly. Like, we've been having this conversation for 2 hours, and not me and you and not Twitter, but like this conversation happened on TV over the course of 2 hours. And I know we're going live a little bit late, and I definitely urge everybody to read Dalton Ross and Josh Wigler's, I guess they're not exit interviews because it's not with them, but they both interviewed Jeff, and they were released right after the episode. So I would definitely give those a read. This is not an episode that I really intend to ever watch again. But partly because I just go so many different ways on it. And I think both of those articles did a good job of trying to lay out where this all went down, where this snowballed, where the truth was, where the exaggerations were, and how both of those affected everything. So definitely give those a shot. But yeah, I'm really exhausted. I don't think I've cried in the middle of an episode since the Varner Zeke situation. So that was new.
Not to make light of that, but you cry every family
visit. I cry a lot.
Give me a break. Yeah.
I'm like a big time crier, and Survivor doesn't make me cry. So that was, again, exhausting. But yeah, I really don't know what to say. I was angry. Whatever words I want to use. And yeah, I mean, this has nothing to do with how I feel about any player personally, because I don't know any players. And so I think that's like one thing that I am going to hopefully try to convey throughout this, because my mom texted me, she goes, "You're really about to broadcast yourself on the internet right now?" And I was like, "You bet your butt I'm about to do that."
So, my mom texted me, "Good luck." So I had,
not, but we have an obligation to make you guys laugh, because I think that's why you come to us. So yeah.
Yeah, and just to, if you all want to put a smile on your face, because you all thought I was annoying about Victoria last year.
Damn it.
It's about to get so bad, everybody. Janet is like I texted Alexa, she's the greatest character since Greg Buis, but she's the realest person. I really think like she's one of the realest people they've ever had on the show. And I think the hard part is when you go out to play a game, I don't care about backstabbing and anything like that. That's all part of the game. We've all seen that. But sometimes a line can be crossed. And whether that line was crossed or not tonight, I don't know, because I don't know enough. Like, I don't know enough of what was going on. I just see reactions. That's all I know. But
for me, playing. It's so easy for us to say what we're going to say because we're here.
Because I'm here, like, I don't know if a line was crossed tonight. But I know for one thing is that Janet would never cross that line. And I think that there's, you know, we always hear this, do I want to come out here and do I want to become a villain? Do I want to be a monster? Do I want to be somebody who, you know, gives up my moral code? And I think like when it comes to moral code in terms of backstabbing, lying, whatever, that doesn't matter. If that's your moral code, like the whole coach and woo thing, it's so fake because you're going to play Survivor and now you're just playing it up. But tonight we saw a real thing where Janet's like motherly instinct came out. And it was, what I love about this episode is that it starts off where Dan is the worst. I mean, it could not have been any worse. We got the parental warning at the beginning. I didn't know it was going to go on for 2 hours.
That was not good. That was scary. Yeah, 2 hours of flip.
2 hours
coming up.
But we have Janet, who is our voice of reason, sitting there the entire time and saying, like, I like Dan. I don't dislike Dan, but all these other girls are so affected by it that I can't let this go on, because this is just her and saying, you know what, the game, the $1 million, it's not worth it to me to disrupt who I am as a human being. And so she stood up for what she believed and she got played. And this goes to what Aaron then said at Tribal, which is the worst look for Aaron, who is Kellen Bechtold's winner pick in our power rankings this week. So I'm going to keep throwing that out there because I'm sure Kellen's feeling great about that right now. But it goes to what he said, where it was a Survivor move and she lost. No, it was not. This was not a Survivor move, because this was beyond that. And I think that sometimes in the middle of the game, you can get mixed up in it and not understand maybe the gravity of what you're doing or what's going on or what's being said or anything like that, because you're just so caught up in the game and you're looking at it as it's just the 13 of us and somebody's got to win. Mm-hmm. And some things were said tonight that are very harmful. And I just, watching this all from Janet's point of view and seeing the arc that we got of, I'm going to protect the women and I'm going to be on Dan's side, to now I'm trying to tell Dan the truth. And now I got Elizabeth and I got Missy that I'm trying to get to really tell me everything to. Now Janet's going to get boats. And like when she found that idol, tell me you didn't cheer at your TV. If you didn't cheer, like, why are you watching our podcast? Because it's going to get real old. Anytime Janet breathes, I'm going to be screaming and I'll probably tweet 100 exclamation points. So this was just a really crazy episode. And to see it from the eyes of the oldest, and I really do believe the wisest on this season, the entire time, it was just such an interesting perspective. It really, really was. And I don't know. It's a tough one to talk about. A lot happened. A lot Survivor related and a lot real life related. But I am, whatever it is, Stan it, Janet, doesn't matter. Janet's the queen. She can take the title with Michelle. She's a queen. She is the queen. Yeah, she's the queen. Sandra's still not there yet. Sandra will get there one day. But Michelle and Janet are the queens. And Victoria and Sandra are the level below.
Yeah, lest we forget that Rob and Sandra were on this show.
Which we'll talk about that Jamal situation, because I'm going to be honest with you, Survivor producers, that's bullshit. And I'm going to curse here. That's bullshit.
So, I guess let's get through the bad part, and then we'll get to the, like, three Survivor things that actually happened.
We'll put a timestamp in here so people can skip.
Yeah, exactly. So, when you said, like watching Janet's arc and Janet saying, I like Dan. Like, Dan is never going to feel uncomfortable. Like, I like him. I think he's a good guy. I have to like work my way through this, but the way that Dan ended, and I think what Dan finished with was really good. And I think, and I'm glad that even though Jeff had to kind of bully him into it, I'm glad that we did get this full thing from Dan, because if I saw another fucking eye roll from him, I was going to chuck my computer out the window. But I'm glad that Jeff kind of forced him to just talk it out, because I think when he could talk it out, it made a lot more sense. And when Janet said, I think he's an old school guy, some people are touchier than others. I'm not a particularly touchy person, but I know that a lot of people are. And I get that. And I don't think that Dan had bad intentions. And I know this is broadcasting my opinions out on the internet. So again, here we go. But I think Dan like clearly didn't get it. And I think he should have changed. I think he should have realized it. And I think there's so many things he could have done differently and correctly, but I'm glad that that was where it ended. I'm upset that he's still in the game, because I could not separate. As a viewer, I could not separate the game from personal. And I think if I was in the game, maybe it would have been different. Maybe I would have been with the majority and kept him because he was a number or for whatever reason. But what upset me the most about this was that, and this was my most liked tweet of all time, so thanks, Twitter.
That's all you wanted.
Either this group was legitimately uncomfortable and continued to play, or worse, weren't uncomfortable, made something worse, and don't feel upset about it. And I'm sure they do. I think Lauren was the one who we probably saw like being the most open about it. I don't know. I think it all just boils down to whether or not you can separate it and whether or not that makes you an okay person. And that's not my decision. That's no one's decision to make except for your own, I guess. But I think that's where a lot of people are feeling conflicted and upset. And that's where I'm feeling conflicted and upset. And I think it just has, I don't know, separating the real life from the game is hard. And I think in this situation where the game affected someone personally, like this clearly affected Kelly personally, and this is going to affect Dan. And I mean, Elizabeth is going to get raked through the freaking coals for this one, as is Aaron, as is every single person except for Janet, because she's the best person on the world.
Mm-hmm. Not on the planet, on the world.
Yeah, because that's a sentence. That makes sense.
Well, Alexa, let me ask you the important question. How many likes did you get on that tweet?
Well, they're still racking up, Phil.
I love that. How many was it?
As of right now, I'm at like 150.
Holy crap. That's a lot, Alexa. You're like living the big time. I got 28, but I also just tweeted Janet's name. So maybe that doesn't...
I mean, if you just tweet hashtag Stanit, like you're going to get 1,000.
That's what's happening at this point. I texted you during the first hour. And I said to you, I said, Alexa, I don't think anybody else is as bothered by this as Kelly is. And I think they're using this for gameplay. And you were like, well, no, it could be, you know, we weren't sure. Like we weren't, we were both having this conversation and it was like, well, maybe it's the groupthink or maybe it's whatever. And what ended up happening is they really did use Kelly's situation to get in with her and then blindside her and really, it's not that they ruined Janet's game by any means. And if they did ruin Janet's game, who cares? You know, that's not what the point of this is. It's more of like, everything that Janet said she was told. And so when you're hearing Elizabeth say, like, I was never bothered by it, and Elaine say, I was never bothered by it, then Elaine never went to Janet either. But when everybody is sitting there saying, like, I wasn't bothered by it, but we had just been told you were bothered by it, and that gets, like, a conversation from producers, and it's clearly it was bringing this all to the surface for Kelly, who had been clearly bothered by it all year. So when that's happening, it's, I mean, it's not on me to tell you whether that's crossing a line or not, because look, it's a game of Survivor. I don't know, but I think that that's where this confusion and everything you're talking about, it's, they took Kelly's situation and they used it against her. And in Survivor, that's what you do. You take things that people are uncomfortable with and you use it against them. But this went beyond the game to me. And I don't think that that speaks negatively of Elizabeth or Missy or Aaron or Lauren as people. I just think in the moment on the island, they didn't really understand the gravity of it. And I think that's also why at the end, when Dan won't open up to Jeff, I think he feels like, and I'm not defending Dan, but I think he feels like it's like a witch hunt at that point, and anything he says can and will be used against him. And so I think that's why he had a hard time. But I actually felt like what he said at the end was self-aware, where he said, it doesn't matter if I realize I'm doing something wrong. It doesn't matter if I don't realize I'm doing something wrong. If Kelly thinks I'm doing something wrong, I'm doing something wrong. Yeah. And I think that what he said there was very accurate. And I just think when it comes to this situation, especially, I mean, I worked in Hollywood. I was working at Warner Brothers when all of this craziness came out. So like I had bosses who had worked with Kevin Spacey, and like I had bosses who had worked with, you know, all these other producers, the Weinsteins and all of that. So like when you hear that and it's that industry and it's this year when the Me Too movement is still so in the forefront, just like I felt like at first it was like, yes, like they're all against him. Like, God, he's got to go home. And then all of a sudden it started to feel like, wait a second, this is starting to feel a little off here. Something's not right. So at the end of the day, I don't know any of these people. And like, you know, I just think it's a, in the moment, we don't know what it would be like. You're out there, and Alexa used the word groupthink a lot in our text tonight. But, you know, people start talking it out, and it starts to be like, well, this is, we're okay, because, like, I can say this because everybody else is saying it. It is what it is. But I will say this, Janet or Tommy better win this freaking season. That's all I'm going to say. Put my hands up in the air, and I'm going to say, Miss Janet or Tommy better win this season.
Queen Stannet. I think I know. I and groupthink is a word that I've probably used once in the past decade, other than the past 2 hours. But I think the groupthink like went to the truth and then went to not the truth and just flew back and forth. And at this point, I think I'll have to look back at my timestamps. I think it was 9:15, so it was at like the second part of the episode. And I was like, Phil, I'm not fucking texting about this anymore. Let's stop. 3 minutes later, Janet finds the idol, and we were like, oh my God, Janet found the idol. Like, oh my God, this is so exciting. And then, yeah, the whole thing is, it's upsetting. It's frustrating. I don't think anybody really knows what the right word is for it. But I think in the moment they, I don't know. I can't even attempt to speak for what everybody did, but for me, like if the whole like production going and talking to each of them one by one and then talking to the entire group, it seems odd to me that that maybe didn't inspire a light bulb moment of like, oh crap, this is a big effing deal. So even, and then for it to just continue going, I'm very unsettled. Like I think a lot, there's a lot of opinions flying around. But yeah, I don't like it. I don't know. It crossed the line for me. I can't say, I mean, I don't know if it crossed line for anybody else. For the players, again, I'm not there. I'm not on the island. I'm watching what I watched.
It literally was 3 minutes, by the way. Sorry, I'm laughing because
I thought it was 3 minutes exactly. Yeah,
I was like, I want to read out our texts. Like, I want to like do that, and then I like look
them a little bit.
Okay, well, Alexa at 6:11 p.m. said, "I'm done. I can't text about this." And then at 6:14, which I believe is when she found the idol, I said, "Y'all thought I was annoying about Vic last year. Oh boy!" And then maybe I shouldn't be proud of this one, but I said, "Janet is mommy in all caps." And Alexa's response was, "Mommy, mommy, I literally just punched the air." So that tells you how intelligent our texting is back and forth. And I have no problem reading that out so Alexa can lose her mind. But that's how quickly it went from, I can't do this anymore, to thank God Janet found that idol.
Mommy. Amazing.
Yeah, mommy. I love Janet. I really do. I thought this was great. Shall we like dissect gameplay from this? Shall we dissect the fact that
there has been some questionable gameplay.
Oh, Kelly, my darling. Why did you do this to me? I had her in spot number 2 in the power rankings. I said Kelly was going to win this season as we did that with Kellen. And I just felt so good about her, man. I really did. I thought she was in a good spot. She has 2 idols. We see all this great stuff going on. But I don't know. Man, I don't know. She just goes
2 idol non-plays and 1 idol misplay. Yikes.
Yikes.
By the 2 queens.
The
2 queens. Yeah. The Kelly thing. Poor phrasing here. What's great for Kelly is that no one is talking about how bad of a player she is.
Yeah.
Not that I think she's a fantastic player. Even Jeff, like in his Entertainment Weekly article, the quote is like, yeah, Kelly got voted out 2 idols in her pocket, but no one would say she's a bad player. And I hope she can come back someday. That's the highest praise you can get, because James was the dumbest Survivor player on the planet until Eric Reichenbach came around. So Kelly's not getting that treatment. I think I will never know why she didn't play them, and we'll hear a lot from her tomorrow, but she probably thought, in what world could someone go home before Dan? Which is a fair thing to think.
Absolutely. And we saw everything that Janet said after Tribal. It was, wait, y'all lied to me over this? Mm-hmm. And I thought it was great when she said to Lauren and Tommy, like, this crossed the line. Like, this isn't okay. This isn't just a game. I thought that was really great. And Kelly, the one thing I will defend Kelly for here and why her move is not nearly as bad as James's is because I think Kelly is one of the people who this was crossing a line for her. So she wasn't okay with it. And so, like, she thought that all her girls were really had her back and they weren't lying to her and all that. And also, she has 2 idols at final 13. James had them at final 7.
Yeah.
It's a big difference. Big difference. Was it final 8? Whatever it was. Big, big, big difference. Because James only had to win, like, 2 more challenges or 1 more challenge, and he would have been sitting in final 4. Whereas Kelly has to win her way all the way through the game. I was really hoping after she found the second one, she was just going to end up playing it. But she didn't. Which is a bummer. And Kelly goes home and then has to sit there and listen to the aftermath, brutal. Has to be so terrible. And now Jamal is going to go. And I honestly feel like Jamal and Jack are 2 good people for Kelly to be able to share Ponderosa with, like when she first gets there. So I think that that's good. But man, that had to be really hard for her to just sit there and listen to all this aftermath and know in that moment that it really might have just been a you and Dan thing as opposed to like everybody else, because everybody else is sitting there and like, he still isn't going home. Mm-hmm. And now Janet is crying, threatening to leave the game, which Mama Janet ain't going anywhere.
Mommy Janet is, she's going to win this thing. Yeah. And I think this is a 2-hour episode for a reason. I don't think this fades to black, which is crazy. And Ponderosa is going to be crazy. And this finale is going to be weird. But poor Jamal needs a therapist after this. And he's going to go play Kelly's therapist. I mean, Jamal, oh man, that was tough. For this guy to have, I'm sorry, 3 consecutive like culture shifting conversations in a 3 tribal councils. And then for him, him going home, felt so wrong.
Yeah.
Felt so wrong.
It couldn't be Janet. Like it could,
yeah, I know.
It was between Jamal and Janet. And I'm like, if Janet goes tonight after all of this, like, does that pretty much tell you, like, there's no hope for humanity? Like, what do we do?
I know.
Like,
Karishma would have gone home. Like, that wouldn't have felt
made no right. sense. This was the first time ever Karishma, there was no reason for her to be there. Yeah.
Yeah, but I kind of forget where I was going with that.
Sorry,
where?
I interrupted.
No, you're okay. I don't know. I just, it really sucks that, I think Aaron is the one with the worst soundbite. Aaron and Elizabeth are tied with the two worst soundbites of the night. Yeah. Saying soundbites, it's not an opinion. But it was Jamal.
Alexa doesn't have opinions, okay, everybody?
Us two fans who broadcast ourselves on the internet don't have opinions about anything because we're terrified. But, I mean, Jeff didn't cut Aaron off. Jamal cut him off and was just like, you need to sit the F down and think about this. And for him to go home because of that, like, again, maybe I would make a bad Survivor player, but that is just to vote him out after that is just, that is stone cold. And I know we usually use stone cold in a good way. But I guess that's the point of being stone cold. Don't we talk about the fact that Jamal was, cover your ears, everybody, completely fucked with that advantage. Should Jamal not have grabbed a paper? Should Jamal and Karishma have just stood there and not gone for an idol? I was standing like, what the fuck?
Yeah, Alexa's in rare form right now.
I know.
She's going to be dropping F-bombs. Alexa pulling a Troy Zan over here and just dropping F-bombs like crazy. But you're 100% right. You're 100% right. That is, I get that, like, you want to mix it up and everything like that. If it's too good to be true, that means it is.
Spare me, boss. Like,
get out of here. That's complete nonsense. The entire point of this game of Survivor is take advantage of every single thing that's put in front of you. Take advantage of everything. You got to take advantage of the people you're playing with. You got to take advantage. I love how we're saying this after I just said people might have crossed the line, but you got to take advantage of every single thing that you can take advantage of to move forward in this game. And there's a piece of paper hanging off of a tree right in front of your face, right at eye level for Jamal. And of course you're going to take that, because why is it there then? Like, you can't be telling players you're no longer supposed to try to take every advantage because it might screw you. That's so stupid. Jamal would have went home tonight anyway because he didn't have a vote and it would have been 4-3-3, whatever. Doesn't matter. They would have figured out a way where Jamal would have went home anyway. But this is bogus. There's no way you should lose a vote for picking up an advantage.
Exactly. And every single, you just did it, my dad's like, really? For those listening on iTunes, Phil just like kind of haphazardly slapped his computer. They shame Elizabeth for taking Boston Rob on in Fire when, I'm sorry, it's the premiere of the season and she just wanted to freaking play. They shame Elaine for jumping on it. And then Elaine ends up changing the entire course of the game because she won it. Janet was commended for not taking the advantage and therefore didn't get an advantage. And now Jamal is getting shamed for walking near a piece of paper and picking it up because it says, take me, I'm yours, which is what significant others say to people.
Alexa can't help herself. She's just
I'm in a fucking mood right now.
Yeah, she is out of her mind.
It just totally sucks because then Jamal comes back with fake legacy advantage, which, dare I say, it looked pretty good. I think he had a really good sell there. But then on the flip side, Dean goes, Well, Boston Rob's like, have you ever seen a pencil before? And Jamal's like, no, I've never seen a pencil before. And then Dean's like, no one's ever had a pencil on Survivor. Just the weirdest, like, collection of conversations. And I thought they were going to buy it. I don't know. What about you?
If I am Dean, I say, okay, everybody, come with me. Come with me. Put it in the fire and watch it burn. Because I don't believe Jamal. It's too much. The whole birthday thing. Dean's not really in your alliance. There's people there that you're probably closer with if you're Jamal. I don't believe that. I wouldn't do it. Yeah. Also, Sarah Laposa, thank you. JT had a pen once. JT had a pen and didn't get that from any type of challenge or anything. Somehow he just had a pen.
Where did that pen come from?
The producers were like, wait, you want to write a letter to Russell? Here you are. I just don't. This sits so terribly with me because why should Jamal be punished for this? Like, he should not be punished for this. And, like, No, like that should never happen on Survivor for taking advantage of your surroundings. You wake up in the morning and you get up early. Early bird gets the worm is a thing, Survivor people. Like, wake up. That's a real thing. Early bird gets the worm. What if Jamal was just the early bird who got the worm? And not only that, what is he supposed to do? Just be like, no, Karishma, you take it? Like, is that the better move in Survivor? No.
No, it's never
the better move. That's never the better move.
Karishma even says, she's like, I can't believe Jamal beat me to it.
So it's so frustrating. It really, really made me mad. Yeah, this just really frustrated me. I don't like it. I'm bummed to see Jamal go this way, but Jamal didn't really go because of this. Thank God he's got good handwriting. Like, thank God.
Beautiful handwriting.
Yeah, my handwriting is. Yeah,
mine would have been fake.
Can anybody read that? I can't even read it. It says, said to you, I think, but there's no way.
Makes sense.
Yeah. Anyway, I have terrible handwriting. It wouldn't work, but I thought he did a pretty good job selling it. I think it's also dumb that, like, he gets to go to Island of the Idols. Good for you. I'm so pumped I get to go there. And then, like, well, you're automatically going to get to try to sabotage somebody else. And nobody's going to buy it. I would buy a piece of paper hanging from a tree. I'm not going to buy it if Alexa comes back to me and says, Phil, I got you something. Like, go in the water. Get out of here
with that. Yeah. Exactly. And speaking of the early bird gets a worm, Janet, who couldn't sleep because her world was crashing down, is already up. Aaron and Missy walk by, and hot take of the night by Alexa, the craziest part of this episode is that Aaron, and I forget which of them says it, but someone says, he told us to look in the crevices. Who is he?
Mm-hmm. Who found an idol that's a male on the season? Just Jamal. But would Jamal tell Aaron and Missy, go look in the crevices?
And is that even where Jamal found it? I don't remember if I'm going to be completely
wrong. I don't remember where Jamal found it. I just remember Jamal found it.
What beach are they on?
Yeah. That's true. I don't know which.
Five things wrong with this. And to your point, why would Jamal tell Aaron and Missy that? Those are kind of the only two who we never saw Jamal really interact with either of them.
Yeah, I don't know. So I don't know who the he is in this situation. Unless maybe it's like a super fan. Maybe it's just like Tommy said it because he's a big fan. But I don't know.
Yeah, that was crazy. But Janet ended up getting it. I think like America collectively cheered when that happened. Yeah. I mean, it sucks for her that she misplayed it. Who voted for her? I couldn't pay attention to the votes.
I don't know who voted for her because remember, I left work before the actual commercial came back. So I don't know what happens next week on Survivor. I'm assuming like Tommy and Janet are being carried around in like those like things and like the palm fronds because we just like bow down to them now. Mainly Janet, but I just got to keep throwing Tommy in there because Tommy is the only other person who came out of this episode looking not bad. Just going to say it. He had one moment and he kind of was able to weasel his way out of it. Everybody else came out of this episode looking really bad. But we'll talk about that. We'll break down like where everybody's standing now because we're at final 12 or final 11.
Power rankings.
Yeah, we're at final 11. And like, how do we feel about people's chances? Dean didn't come out looking bad either. Is Dean Kowalski about to win this season?
Dean and Karishma final two. You heard it here first.
Oh, yeah, Karishma too. Yeah, there's a couple people who came out of this episode not looking bad.
Oh, Amy Tasty Fist. Nora, my queen Nora.
She always.
I know this wasn't her episode, but she, I have to do this. She said around the exact same time that Janet said it, but she said, "What are we doing, people? Why don't we get rid of him?" And I know now I'm going back to it, but in the EW article, Jeff made a really good point that Missy heard that she's the target. So then that's going to completely change Missy's trajectory of what she believes from what Kelly's saying. Mm-hmm. And so for Janet and Nora and Kelly to be so confused that no one's buying it, I thought that was, again, really frustrating. But Nora, Jamal, Janet, Karishma, Kelly, who am I missing? Those, I want to lift them up because they tried to do the right thing.
Yeah. I don't know. It's a tough episode because like, I mean, at least like I talked to my mom when I was driving home, call your mom kids. But I called my mom on the way home because like one, I'm like, what the hell did I just watch? And I want to make sure that like, I like to, especially when we have these like big episodes like this, I want to make sure that I'm not like losing my mind and that like, I'm not thinking one way, and like me and Alexa are kind of in our tunnel here. But my mom just kept saying, like, well, it, like, she before this episode was like, Missy or Aaron could win, but how could they win now? Because like, we can't sit here and say like, oh yeah, Aaron and Missy, like, if they win, you're going to come back to this episode and be like, well, yikes, what about that? Yeah. Like, what about Aaron saying that Janet's playing the victim? Which, look, I know, I know it's such a bad soundbite. I don't think Aaron's a bad person. I think it's a bad soundbite. I think tonight was full of bad soundbites. I think a lot of this cast is probably texting each other saying, damn, we didn't come out looking too hot tonight, did we?
Hashtag, but I also don't sleep on 39.
Yeah, don't sleep on 39. I'll tell you what, anybody who did sleep on this season, you're missing out, because this is not one to be in hibernation for. But yeah, it's tough. And I think Elaine is somebody who also like didn't look too bad, but it's tough because Elaine also was kind of being supportive of Dan after the whole situation, saying, Dan, I don't worry, you didn't do anything wrong, or whatever she said. I was never bothered by it. And I don't fault Elaine too much, because we didn't see Elaine also telling Janet or telling Kelly that she was bothered by it. And I think that's why Elaine took such a back seat tonight, is because I think that when she heard all of that, she said, I'm going to go sit over there. Like, I want nothing to do with it. Dan hasn't bothered me any, and I'm just going to go sit down and do whatever I need to. So,
yeah. And I think the people who did take backseat, I mean, even Nora took like a gigantic backseat, Tommy, Elaine, not many others.
Karishma.
So I think for them, like, this wasn't a part, they weren't a part of that storyline. And I'm glad, because the last thing I think anybody, any viewer or any player needed was four more opinions of just more confusion. Because I think unless it was directly happening to one of them, or it was heavily influencing their votes, I didn't really need to hear from them, because the waters were already so muddied by the people who were faking being involved in it. So
yeah,
I think them taking a backseat was good. And dare I say it, putting Elaine at number one on my power rankings might not have been the worst move.
It wasn't the worst move, but you and Kellen both put Dan at 13, so.
Yikes. And I picked Dan as my eliminator, which, great for me.
Who did you pick in your eliminator?
I picked Dan.
After picking Dan to go home?
Yeah, because I'm psycho.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense. Maybe you knew. I'm just kidding. Carl's in the chat, and I also know Carl was at a bar tonight, so I saw.
Oh my God, Carl had a watch party tonight. Could you imagine?
Good call, Carl. Way to have a watch party on the darkest episode of all time. Thanks, man.
I mean, getting drunk with Carl during this episode probably would have made it a little better.
I guarantee you, Carl said that's exactly right at least 500 times. That's exactly right. He just probably kept saying it. He's probably slugging back to Cates, and he was just saying, that's exactly right. Mm-hmm. That's exactly right, because that's what Carl does.
Just left watch party. Damn, again. Wow. I also, never mind. I think he said there was going to be a special guest appearance at that, which also must have been really awkward.
Yeah, this is a tough one. And somebody in the chat had said that people aren't really active on Twitter right now after this episode.
No crap, they're not.
Yeah, so I don't know.
Because I think... Oh, okay. I'm
gonna keep going back to it, Alexa. I want you to shoot yourself in the foot. I'm so well spoken. I went to the Jamal school.
How many F-bombs did I drop tonight?
I went to the Jamal school of like think before you speak. So I will carefully sort out all of my words for the first time in my life.
No, I went to the Alexa school of dropping F-bombs when I know I shouldn't, and then Phil and Alexa exposing themselves as people who just text each other mommy back and forth.
Yeah, exactly. Huh?
So you guys want to know what intelligence bait we're doing. It's that.
It's 2019.
No, I think with this group, and I really don't know where I'm about to go with this, so bear with me. I think with this group, they haven't been interacting on social media all season. And I think that's probably a result of last season, where they were all very involved with each other. And I honestly like it. I don't really want, that's what like exit press is for, in my opinion. Like I don't really want to know who's friends with each other after, because I'm sure they're all buddies with each other afterwards. And I don't want to see, I don't want to see two people tweeting at each other, because to me, that kind of like ruins the magic of it. With that, I'm sure they're all very close, and especially like they've had almost a year to work through this together, this entire group. And so I'm sure it's really difficult for all of them to be rewatching this and kind of like how it was really difficult for Chelsea to watch and like everybody to watch themselves get voted out, for them to probably go through 9 months of recovery and then to have to relive it and have the entire planet hate everybody or stan one to two people. I don't know. I mean, if I'm going to be honest, like it's, What does everybody want? Does everybody want Elizabeth and Aaron to write some gigantic Instagram post about how apologetic they are so that they can just get ripped to shreds?
Yeah.
Like, people are going to do that. And if they do that tomorrow morning, they do that in a week. And I don't know. I think
as
just because something's not being publicly posted doesn't mean they don't feel it.
I completely agree too. And also, like, saying it to Kelly or to Dan or to Janet or to whoever you felt that you wronged, that's more important. And as I'm watching Alexa's tweet now at 25 retweets and 233 hearts, yeah, Alexa's about to become famous and I'm about to have to get off this podcast because I'm not worthy of her.
Oh my God, thanks for retweeting me. I'll retweet you.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, retweet me now that you're famous. Mine was just Janet. That's all I wanted to say. Well, I don't have anything profound to say. I just wanted to say Janet. And also I want everybody to know that the original tweet by Alexa said, I'm upset. And she also said, I'm on the couch and there. And I told her you have to insert the word not. So I want everybody to know that her editor did help her to make a better tweet. But
you did.
I did. And I forget now where I was going. Oh, but what I was going to say is everything that people will do, and anything that somebody does on Twitter or Instagram or any social media, to me, and I know, Alexa, I'm saying this as I just
talked to you. Oh, it's your attention.
But it's all bullshit. It's just to get the likes or just to get the retweets or just so somebody can say, oh, look, they apologized. I don't care what Elizabeth and Aaron and all of that and Dan and Kelly, I don't care what any of them are going to say on Twitter. I really don't.
Because
I really don't.
Their real feelings already came out.
Because they've already and they've already talked to everybody else on their cast that they needed to talk to. And if they're all good together, if they've all figured this out together, that's what's really important. Like, I'm sorry, but that's what's really important. And I don't care. I don't need them to tweet so that I can hit the heart button and say, good job, Elizabeth. You've learned so much. Because that's not what the point of this is. Because I don't think Elizabeth needs to learn anything. I just think Elizabeth, in the moment, in this game, her and Missy and Aaron and Lauren, they got a little hung up and maybe like not realizing like, oh, we are kind of putting like a really big issue at the forefront. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to fault these people, but also like, it's such a fine line that you have to walk. It's such a fine line. But if they've sat down with Dan or they've sat down with whoever they needed to and everybody is good, I don't care what their tweet is. I really don't care.
100%. I don't need an apology tweet from anybody, as none of you guys should, because they've probably already done this with each other. And we weren't there. Like, we have no idea. Oh, that's the wrong thing. I actually meant to click Corin Green saying,
yeah,
unlike Rose on the Titanic, Jeff will never let this go. That was at my peak tears when Jeff said, I will not let this go, because I kind of like when Jeff gets really forthright. That was really cool. I think, and I think this just like shows how Jeff has evolved as a host. And, I was listening to Cass on Rob Has a Podcast.
Yikes. That was another podcast.
I just did that. And she said, like, lest we forget that Jeff wanted to be like a talk show host, like, and by God, did he get it? Mm-hmm. So I think he did a really good job of letting it all out, letting them get it out, being firm when he needed to, and telling Dan, like, I'm going to give you one more chance to button it up and try to apologize. And then repurposing it and giving it back out to them in the audience. And everyone was like, yeah, that's about right, Jeff. Mm-hmm. It's amazing.
Yeah. No, it's great. It's fantastic. Because this is just going to keep coming up no matter what we talk about, because it was the whole episode. I do want to talk about the challenges tonight, because I thought they were phenomenal and I really loved them.
Yeah.
And I got to say, in that first challenge tonight, that one where they were just kind of standing there with the balls there, I thought that was a fantastic challenge. Mm. And Aaron, I expect to be great at the challenges. He's a personal trainer. He's all this stuff. I was so impressed with Jamal in that first
half. Oh my gosh.
I really, big guy having to hunch down and hold that, sweating like crazy, shaking the whole time. For him to last as long as he did, look, like Jamal's not a guy who's going out there because he's the big buff guy. Jamal's going out there because he is. I did compare him to Sean Rector, but he doesn't have the abs of Sean Rector. Like, no offense, Jamal, but he's going out there more because of how he is. It's like as the way he thinks and the things that he wants to bring to the show more than his physical prowess. And the way he did that challenge tonight was so impressive because we've all been in that situation where like you're working out or you're running, or maybe we all haven't been in that situation, but a lot of us have, or you're doing something and you've gone too far and you start getting that shake where it's just like, oh my God, my body is shutting down. And Jamal did that for like 7 minutes and just kept standing there.
Crazy.
And like the amount of sweat pouring through his shirt and everything, I loved it. Like, good on you, Jamal. That was fantastic. And I liked the second challenge as well. But that first one I thought was really
epic. That first one was crazy and it looked horrible. I liked both these challenges. I know that like people don't like the like stand somewhere and don't move challenges, but those were different types of endurance challenges. Those weren't so much balancing. Those were putting your body in a really uncomfortable position, a la Lauren, like freaking out, and just how long they can do it. And there was such a good cut to 15 minutes elapsed. It was like, they've only been out there for 15 minutes. Like it seemed as though they were out there for days with how much pain they were all in. And that second one, you had texted me, you were like, am I missing something? Like, why is Lauren freaking out? And I wasn't really getting it either, but I was trying to think, like, that's just such an odd, like, nobody's ever just like horizontal staring at water.
You don't go on cruise ships and just do that for shits and giggles?
Yeah, I did that on that cruise that one time.
Yeah, like, why not?
Yeah, of course, training for Survivor. But that one looked, I don't know which I'd be worse at, probably both.
I would be worse at that. I always talk about my shoulders and how they dislocate all the time, and just watching them stand there like that, I was like, man, I wouldn't even know how to fall into the water. Because my shoulders would just pop out of place and I would just be like fluttering like my head. Which also, like, your arms are going numb while you're doing that challenge and then you fall into the water. You have to float or swim. You can't really do that. So that's a tough challenge. I thought that was a really tough one. But I liked both of them and I'm okay with the stand in one place as long as they keep mixing it up. And I thought that first one was a really nice twist on the – instead of balancing balls on a disc, instead of doing that, we can – oh, sorry, my internet cut out for a second there, Alexa. But instead of balancing balls on a disc – you instead, you know, you have it where it's this different design and you're hunched and it's a really uncomfortable position. And it's like you have to be holding a wheelbarrow, but instead of pushing the wheelbarrow, you're just holding hunched in like a position. It's terrible. And I thought it was a really cool challenge. I thought it was fun how fast people were falling out of it. People who you thought would be strong. Dean is a D1 athlete. Dean is not very good at challenges.
You had three balls because even when you lost one, it wasn't over.
You had two.
And then you had two. And then if your balls moved again, you only had one.
Then you only had one. Don't worry. What was it? Jeff said you can lose one. It doesn't matter. And I was just like, oh my God. Jeff,
like, the last thing you need is ball comments right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, exactly. Like, here we go. We're getting ball comments as we're sitting here talking.
It was great.
All these serious conversations. What we really need to be talking about is Jeff's ball comments. Who has three balls? All right. So I just thought these were really cool challenges. I like that they kind of brought back this men versus women. Each one of you wins something. Awesome. And what is so compelling about it this time is that the men had a better chance to win than the women because there were seven women left at this point. We had broken that down and it was 8-5 coming into the night. Kelly goes home at 7-5 and now it's 7-4. And for all the talk about a female winner this season, let's talk about this because we did just have an episode that was – there's going to be – anybody doing edgic, there's a lot of ends here for negative. I know, but it's all complex person. What woman do you think can win other than Janet if a woman's going to win?
So here's the thing. Like, I think we also need to think, like, as a viewer, I clearly feel very differently from how the players, the majority of the players feel. So I know everyone's saying, like, oh, a Missy – Elizabeth, Aaron, final three, like, kill me. They're not thinking that.
Mm-mm.
No one is viewing Missy and Elizabeth people as what the viewers are viewing them as. So I don't think they receive a vote from Kelly or Janet. I mean, and also, what did Jack just walk into?
I know. Oh my God. Jack's probably so pumped he got voted out.
It's like, man, I wish I wasn't on the jury. But there's actually some interesting foreshadowing in his Ponderosa. He was just saying, he's like, I'm so excited to like welcome people and give them positive vibes. He is getting that challenge.
Good luck, buddy. Yeah. So Jamal needs a therapist. Jamal will be Kelly's therapist. Jack is now going to be therapist of Ponderosa. Like he is a poor 23-year-old Jack who got the lesson of a lifetime taught to him by Jamal on this show is about to be welcoming people into his office and telling them to have a seat on the couch and say everything they need to say because a lot going on.
Wild. Just so wild. Going on. Yeah. I forgot Jack was there and I was like, oh, this poor child.
Yeah. And I just want to bring this up because Carl said as Dean Wardog 2.0. I do want to say that when they did the first immunity challenge and it was that standing there thing, all I could think to myself is Wardog would get last place on this. That's all I could think.
The butterfly would land on
it. It would land on his head and he would just last place. No doubt. His 45-year-old back would give out. But it's going to be interesting for poor Jack over there. But in terms of women, I still think Missy can rebound. I really do. I think Missy has been shown as a villain on this season, but I think Missy can rebound. And I think that Elaine can win.
I was going to say her.
But it's weird because I feel like we would have seen so much more of Elaine if she was really going to win. I still think, and I'm a crazy person, and Carl, you're in the chat, and I know you are, I still think Karishma can win. Because
I would love that.
Like I said, pre-merge, it's hard to show her positively because she's so bad at challenges. Now that it's an individual game, there was not one bad thing said about Karishma tonight. I know she got votes and she's probably got like 37 votes on the season, but nothing bad was said about her tonight.
There was a fun little clip and Karishma, like I very much enjoyed you, and I also love when production makes fun of people. There was a really great clip. I think it was Tommy saying something about Karishma and I think she's trying to clean the pot. And there's just like sand in it. And she's like running around in a circle on the beach. And it kind of reminded me of when Julie Rosenberg was saying that everyone on their tribe, except for Joe, is useless. And mm-hmm. it had her like throwing a net into a tree. Yeah. Or something. Like I thought that was just like, I mean, it was poking fun. There wasn't anything like great about her, but no one was saying like, I don't like Karishma.
Yeah. And Karishma, that's why it would have felt weird if Karishma went home tonight. Cause she was such a side character in this episode, which I think is exactly where you want to be in this episode. And when I'm looking at this episode, Elaine was a side character, Tommy was a side character, and Karishma was a side character. So I think the three of them still have a shot. I think obviously Janet has a chance after tonight, though I think Janet, we're going to all be brokenhearted when she goes home eventually. I think Janet goes home eventually and we all cry. But I think that Missy can recover. I think Aaron can recover. I think Aaron had this terrible line and relating it back to his life and I have two sisters and all this. And like all my like clients, a lot of them are female and all that. I just think, again, like when you're trying so hard to empathize but still play a game but still throw somebody under the bus and still try to keep it as light as you possibly can, sometimes you just say the wrong things. And Aaron did have the worst soundbite of the night. I really do believe that. It was the worst soundbite of the night. But I just think it's like a momentary lapse of reason. That's all it is. Just one little thing. It's just one little thing that happens and – you know, over the course of 39 days, it's going to happen. Poor Aaron, his just happened to be one that was so in relation to the episode and so the wrong thing you could possibly say in the moment that, of course, it's going to air. And then you get Janet's reaction and Janet crying and Lauren saying, don't worry, Janet, we don't hate you. And then Janet gets two votes anyway. And Janet's like, screw all of y'all. I'm going to play my idol. Now she's speaking like a Southerner, even though she's from North Jersey. Close enough to North Jersey. Is people are going to say Janet played her idol wrong. No matter what happens at that tribal council, I'm playing my idol because I don't trust a single person there. I don't trust a single one. I am playing my idol because I don't have a choice.
Yeah, she absolutely had to.
Yeah.
I totally get her. But yeah, I think she's in hot water. I think they're also – it's all – life and this game is such an ego thing. And I think part of like what – you know, I'm not in Aaron's head, but like – part of what possibly inspired what Aaron said was just, he was probably sick of people being like, you are immoral, you are this, you are that. So of course he's going to lash back. People are always going to lash back when they get criticized. So.
This one I'll open up to like everybody, cause I'm curious and you know, we probably won't answer it now cause we're almost at our hour and I have to do a freaking podcast with Will after this cause we haven't done our college football one yet. So like, You want to talk about a bad night? I just had to watch that episode of Survivor. I had to talk to Alexa, and now I got to talk to Will. It's the worst. It really can't. It really cannot get worse. My house would have to get broken into. But what do people think? Would we rather watch a season of Survivor where we just flat out like certain people and then hate others? Or would we rather watch a season like this where I think every single player on this season is a complex character? And there's no blatant hero. And after tonight, and please nobody give me, I don't want to get in trouble for this, but after tonight, I don't think there's a blatant villain, because I don't think Dan is a blatant villain after what happened at the end of this episode. Mm-hmm. And so would we rather watch an episode where people are watch a season where people are making real human mistakes and real human emotion is coming out and real topics that, like, this is what, I mean, I live in LA, so this is what people talk about every time. I can't go to a bar and watch a football game. This is what people talk about all the time. So would we rather an episode or a season like that? Would we rather a season where we just sit down and we're like, we love that person, they are perfect, and we hate that person because they're just so flawed and there's no redeeming quality? Like, what would we rather have?
I don't know.
I honestly do prefer this. And tonight was exhausting. Tonight was exhausting, and I do, like, obviously it's a hard episode to watch, and it's probably an episode I'll probably watch it again, but I'd rather watch a season like this where everybody feels so real that we're seeing real human flaws from everybody and real human. I mean, even Janet had a flaw tonight. Her flaw was that, like, she's almost like too moral and can't see that other people don't have the same morals as her. And, like, it's not a knock on everybody else. That's just, you know, she's assuming that everybody else is just like her when you're playing a game like Survivor. And that's just not the case. I'd rather see something like this. That's how I feel. And honestly, like, as somebody who loves to watch stupid little indie movies, and I'm talking like 90s movies from all these, you know, like random ass directors. I'm not talking indie, like, you know, an Aubrey Plaza movie. I'm talking, like, you know, Whit Stillman, which, if anybody knows what that is. But as somebody who watches it, it's a lot of people just sitting around having conversations about what was going on in the era. Mm-hmm. And tonight's episode of Survivor felt like one of those movies. And, like, I'm into that. I'm into it. I don't like that it's real people, because it's actually going to have repercussions on their lives, and I hate that for everybody. But, I think it's good entertainment, and it is what it is. But Alexa, I can see that you disagree, and you're already typing up an opus to say you're a loser, Phil.
No, yeah, well, that's exactly what I'm doing. Who's the MVP?
Janet, 100%. Yeah, and this goes beyond gameplay. Janet is the MVP because of how she handled this whole situation and the fact that she did what she thought was right and got for it. And then continue to be able to voice her opinion. And my favorite thing is Janet walking over after she has the talk with Dan. And she's like, oh, I'm sorry, were you sleeping? Like, she doesn't actually say that. But I love that little, like, and it's like, maybe we should let this go. No, we really shouldn't. That is the most Jersey thing you can do.
Yeah.
And I just love Janet for that. Because if anybody in my family was playing Survivor, that's exactly what they would do. That's exactly what I would do if something comes up like that. Because there will be things that come up where all of a sudden you hear through the grapevine, hey, did you say something wrong to this person? And it is immediately, like, within 3 seconds of seeing that, I'm like, well, I'm on the phone with that person because I need to make sure that I didn't do anything wrong. And I love that Janet just went right over and was like, get out here. Like, you're great. All about to get a stern talking to, and you're not getting snacks tonight. No Dunkin'
Donuts for any of you. But that's what I love. And I think that's her life experience coming out. Because me, I probably would have been like, screw this, screw these people. Like, they're not going to listen to me. And she puts them there and calls them out. And spoiler is right.
Yeah.
And they come out looking like losers.
Bad. Yeah. They came out looking really bad.
They came out looking really bad. So.
And I think you said the right word there, though. It's life experience. It's you have a 59-year-old woman who knows exactly where she – and here I am saying this as a 27-year-old dude, so, like, what the hell do I know? But I think you have this 59-year-old woman who has lived enough of a life to know what she'll stand for and what she won't and what she's confident in and what's worth $1 million to her. And then I think you have other people who are still feeling out who they are. Like, I mean, Alexa and I don't know who the hell we are. We're doing a Survivor podcast. That if that doesn't tell you that our lives are in disarray, nothing ever will. Like, we're not RHAP. We're doing a Survivor podcast. Like, we don't make money off this, you know?
No,
Patreon.com/survivor specialist, but we don't make that much money off of this.
And, exactly.
You know, it's like, I think that when you're in your 20s or whatever, you're looking for something. I mean, look, we just had Kellen on the podcast, and Kellen will be the first one to tell you, like, I don't know, I'm doing my Kellen thing, you know? And that's, it's fun. It's fun. And sometimes bad comes out of it, but most of the time it's good. And I think Janet just knows who she is already. And that's exactly how she's going to play it. Because if they were going to vote her out for it, she was going to say, you know what? I got voted out because I was right and I can hold my head high. And that's what's important to her. The $1 million is not as important to Janet as who she is as a person. And, you know, I'm not saying that it's not as important to Missy or Elizabeth or any of them. That's not what I'm trying to say. It's just, you know, I probably make mistakes on the show. I'd probably say things I would regret saying, and I'd probably do things I'd regret doing. Janet's not going to do that.
Yeah. That's why we stand.
That's it. That's why we stand.
Stand.
I'm getting a t-shirt. I'm going to get a t-shirt that just has, I want the Island of the Idols logo, and I want Janet's head on one, and I want Michelle's head on the other. Somebody get me that.
Those are the two idols that are on the in immunity necklace.
That's it. That's all I want. That would be fantastic. Thank you, Alexa. Buy me that immunity necklace. If you want to know what to get me for Christmas, now you all know.
I'll talk to Julie. Maybe she can make some toys of Janet and Michelle.
Let's not do that. All right. Tell Julie to keep her toys. We don't need Julie's toys. We don't need that. Yeah. Well, Alexa, do you want to announce who we have coming on Sunday?
Yes. So for those of you who need some laughter and giggles in your life, this Sunday, we're doing it early at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern time, right? Right. We are with Brett LaBelle of Survivor Millennials vs. Gen X. We're very, very excited to have him on. He's one of the co-hosts of the In the Drunk Tank podcast, which is kind of ridiculous and hilarious. I don't think they really talk about Survivor, but we'll have him talk about that. So we're super excited to talk to Brett. So yeah, tune in this Sunday. I know we did Kellen on Monday, so we're going back to our usual schedule now. So you know, leave some comments on our video, but try to be nice to us and the castaways.
Be nice to the castaways. At the end of the day, every one of them, what they're going through right now is a lot worse than what you're going through as somebody who watched it.
Mm.
And you're all like, I know Alexa said she cried, and Alexa cries all the time, but I know a lot of us had very emotional reactions to this episode, and that's very normal, but like every one of them has assuring you that they've talked it out with each other. They've lived it. And what they're going through after tonight is a million times worse than what we're going through watching it and feeling offended by what we've seen or what somebody said. Real stuff happened out on the island. That's where it happened. And now it's like you can tweet at somebody and say to them, man, you're a really bad person. But what does that say about you as a person? So go stand Janet and do all of that. And then let's see what happens next week. And it'll be fantastic.
I don't even want to close this out because that was perfect. Leave some comments. Leave nice comments. Leave helpful comments. Give us 5 stars on iTunes. Someone left a kind of mean comment about us on iTunes because I forgot that I checked that. So tell us how great we are. Become a patron of the Survivor Specialist. Feels so weird to be pushing ourselves. And make sure to follow both of us on Twitter because Phil and Alexa have started to personally live tweet because we know that it makes us famous.
We got 4 downvotes on this video right now.
I'm sure we got a lot. We deserve them.
Yeah, whoever did that, don't come back.
Don't come back. Whatever. We'll swear. Don't at me. So we'll be back this Sunday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern. I hope everyone has a good night. And to the castaways who are listening, like, it's all good. It's all good. Y'all figured it out way before we did. So,
yeah.
Ignore the noise.
Yeah. That's
ignore the noise that Phil and I are putting out.
Yeah, exactly. We just did it for an hour. If you feel that we talked about you negatively, send us an email at Survivor Specialist.
Please
contact us and tell us how we can improve and be better. But also, we know it's a game. And most of the people who listen to us know it's a game. My mom doesn't know it's a game, but she'll get over it at some point. All right, Alexa.
All right. Have a blessed night, everybody.
A blessed night. Wow.